Well, good morning, everybody. I'm drinking my black coffee this morning from my old red cup. My pit bull decided to come join me. It is a wonderful Sunday morning. I'm getting over a cold. If you can't tell, still a little plugged up, some stuff in my throat. But I'm going to tell you, the worst of all is just like the ease of fatigue. I just get fatigued so easily, and I wind easily, and I don't recover from sets as easily. It's awful. So before I do the whole Donald Trump thing, wait a little bit for everybody to come kind of trickling in here, and hopefully you got your favorite coffee mug with you this morning. I would be drinking the usual Fox and Sons, but I kind of felt like just reaching for some more Death Wish coffee. Plugged in the dark roast, and dark roast black hits different some mornings, and this is one of those mornings. I got a whole bunch of yard work to do, so it's a little bit of a busy day. So the Borderlands movie, I'll talk about that a little bit, and how everybody is selling you victimhood. And hopefully you could see my popcorn bucket there. The eye actually lights up, so maybe when I run my intro, I'll turn around and I'll light that up. It's actually really bright. There are a few other people in the movie theater that turned it on, started shining around. But anyways, all the links below for everything I got going on. Fox & Sons Coffee, use code Kyle at checkout. Tiger Fitness, they have a 13% off sale because it's their 13th anniversary. I didn't buy anything for once, but you can get a free sweatshirt if you go and buy some stuff. If you spend $75, I'm a little effed off because I was going to buy some stuff, but then I found out that they didn't have my size. So I'll give them an L for that, but you guys should go over there anyways and check that out. Always good stuff from there. I took some of the, what was it, Pump Chasers Sour Apple pre-workout this morning. With the MTS CreaPure, their creatine, and then some beta-alanine as well. And obviously all the ingredients are in the pre-workout. And then I have a new, not necessarily sponsor, but an affiliate. If you hit the link below, you can use code Sarah, S-A-R-A-H-M at checkout, which the link below should already preload that. You can get a little bit of a discount from Deem Fit Clothing. And they'll know that the Matovic family had sent you their way. Hey, good morning, Dickie. Anyways, that's the intro for this. Let's rock and roll. And there it is. Look at that. That is a popcorn tin. It was $43. So if anybody has known me for any extended period of time, maybe you wouldn't know me if you just listened to the podcast. I should quit moving because that's just going to, that's very distracting to see that light just constantly go on and off. I'm a huge Borderlands fan. Absolutely enormous Borderlands fan. I remember, I think it might have been my brother actually who got me Borderlands 2 for my birthday. And if he wasn't, then I know him and his girlfriend definitely got me the special edition for my birthday. One of those years, Jesus Christ, I think that game came out in 2012. And then I started making a movie, so I'm like, oh, well, you know, whatever, I'll go see it just because my bar for entertainment is very, very low. Some people are like up here and need everything to be perfect. I'm like, if the graphics are good and the acting isn't horrible and like it tells a decent story, I'm all in. I can deal with the rest of that. So I went and saw the movie. My wife and I went and saw it Friday night, and I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good. And either my wife's standards are just as low or she just enjoyed it too, which either way is fine. But yeah, if you've played Borderlands and you're expecting the movie to be like a one-to-one of what the game is to the movie, you're probably going to be disappointed. But if you just like, I guess, decent acting and a good action movie, then you'll probably enjoy it. At least I know I did. Originally, it debuted on Rotten Tomatoes, which, you know, for whatever that's worth, at like 0%. So I know people were pissed, but I don't know, man. I fucking enjoyed it. Missing church today because my son got shots recently and since then has been blowing me out his ass. Dude, I'm sorry. While you're at the movie theater enjoying your nerdy video games, I studied The Blade. Watch Deadpool and Wolverine. You know, everybody's been telling me to go see that. I saw the original Deadpool movie forever ago, and I even played the Deadpool game. I got to a certain point where the fucking boss fight was really, 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 really difficult. And then I stopped playing it, and then I eventually sold it. Normally, I'm like all in. As soon as I start playing a game, I like autistically focus on to the point where I do absolutely everything in the game, beat it, and then maybe sell it or replay it again. Deadpool was just not one of those games that I did that for. So, yeah, it is what it is. But I've heard good things, and the previews I've seen for it are really good. So, I don't know. Hopefully that was good. What other news did I want to talk about? Oh, yeah, that popcorn tin was $43, I think. And you know what? I'm going to say it. Worth every single penny. I would buy it again if I had the opportunity. And yeah, honestly, if somebody told me, if they said they wanted to go see that movie, the Borderlands movie again, I'd be like, hell yeah, let's go. I enjoyed it. I'm not the biggest Marvel MCU fan, but I enjoyed the movie a lot. I liked the little bit of Wolverine lore. Yeah, that's interesting. So today's topic, I mean, just every single four years, if that's the right way to phrase that, every 4 years, it's an election year right here in the US, or wherever you are, you probably have elections every couple years. And it's pretty obvious how this shit kind of goes. And I'm amazed to see people get so wound up like they do. And I get it, because it's like, oh, this is the most important election of our lifetime. And the news cycle is just always down your throat. And if you're on Twitter, like all of us are, unfortunately, fortunately, however you want to look at it, you're constantly barraged with just the next thing. And every single one of these accounts has breaking on it. And then there's a little red light on each side. And they always, how are you going to do that to me every single four years an election year happens? Kamala Harris. Yeah, that could be a Kamala Harris quote. the hysteria is just overwhelming for some, clearly, because they feel like they have to go out and pronounce their love for their selected politician. I've just never felt the desire to do that, and I don't move much on my positions. I mean, I change my mind about this stuff, but really what a lot of this kind of boils down to is the title of the show, Selling Victimhood. You hear a lot of people talk about this, like, what was one of Trump's big things? And you've seen boomer memes out the ass about this. They're not really after me. They're after you, and I'm in their way, which is just absolutely hysterical, because the criminal justice system, the tax system, and all these other, you know, government agencies are still wound up in persecuting average people day to day. But we're supposed to believe that the former president of the United States is the only victim in this whole situation, and that the American people have been untouched, which to me is just absolutely fantastical and hilarious that anybody could sincerely believe that. But leaving that aside, part of that is to sell you victimhood, because if people can sell you victimhood, then they can then sell you protection, right? Give people the fear that maybe they're not necessarily looking for, but instill them with fear so that way they can come to you and clamor for your votes, your support, your Patreon dollars, anything like that. And I just never really got into all the hysteria. Like we were talking on Post Zero last weekend. I think it was Jack that hosted it. And he had the line, I really, really like this line, the state plan is the same as the go plan, which sounds pretty simple, but I think that's where I always go mentally first, is that the plan that I have, if Joe Biden, he'll probably be dead. The plan I have if Kamala Harris gets elected or if Donald Trump gets elected is the same. I'm still going to go to work. I'm still going to go to the gym. I'm still going to do the podcast. Would things change if either way? Let's be honest, probably not much. I know everybody wants to blow this out of proportion, especially because it is an election year. But I sincerely believe that a lot of this is just them trying to get you over to their side, because Dave Smith has made this point, and I actually really, really like this point. But right now is the only time that politicians sincerely need anything from you that you can either opt in or out of. And this kind of goes to whether or not you really believe in voting, and if you believe that's legitimate. You could have that debate all day long. I don't know, but you can kind of, if you zoom out over the course of decades, you can kind of see which progression and which way we're kind of going with the wars, with everything that's going on right now. And clearly it's not the way that I think a lot of people want it to be. I think there's a nugget of truth in the I'm in the way. Certain special chosen people hate Trump, largely Christian fan base, way more than they hate their leader who kissed the wall. Yeah, and I mean, you can kind of see this in the reaction to people with the whole assassination attempt, where there definitely were people who were celebrating somebody pretty much like me got shot and killed in the stands there. And I made fun of people for it because everybody wants to throw up their moral outrage about it. But if you're on the internet for an extended period of time, I think you could tell nobody really gives a fuck about your moral outrage. Not mine, not yours, not, you know, any Democrat, Republican. Nobody cares about anybody else's moral outrage. All it is in-group signaling, and you guys can all have a circle jerk about who has the most, you know, morally outrageous stance. And you know, maybe you could knock me for saying saying that I do that about foreign policy. Maybe you'd be right. But it still doesn't change the fact that moral outrage really doesn't go that far. It makes us feel good, but in the end, really doesn't do diddly dick. I wish it did, but it doesn't. You know, do I think it's horrible that, you know, these wretched liberals were, you know, celebrating the fact that an average church-going family guy had, you know, shot and killed by somebody who was completely hyped up by the media? I don't think that's good. But there's some fascinating dynamics that go on there, because I remember seeing videos, and I think I talked about this on the stream before, but it was really, really cool and kind of funny to see all the videos go up on Twitter of the people at the rally in Butler saying, "This is your fault," pointing at the press and yelling at reporters and saying, "This is your fault." And they're right. If you call somebody Hitler, which I probably shouldn't say that because I know YouTube doesn't like that, but if you demonize somebody to the point where people sincerely believe that he's going to blow up the world and lead to all, you know, this horrible, horrible stuff, can you really be surprised when people decide they make the, in their mind, not in my mind, but in their mind, the logical deduction that, okay, if this person is a threat to democracy and civilization, then I'll be hailed as a hero if I were to haul out and take this person out. It's a logical perspective if you are that indoctrinated to what mainstream media in some cases is telling you. And there's also mainstream media that completely supports Trump and then would tell you that, you know, if we get another 4 years of Biden and Kamala, then we don't have a country, which I think is pretty stupid as well, but we'll leave that aside. That's not the point here. If you were to work people up into such a craze, which is essentially the function of our media today, then you can't really be surprised when people are so radicalized that they want to do something about it. Regardless of who wins, I plan to be on track to becoming a nuclear engineer in the next couple of years, which is definitely a recession-proof and a war-proof job. Fuck being a libertarian. I don't like money. Well, yeah, dude, exactly. Get yours. And I think about this every here and there where, like, when you talk about politics and stuff like that, if you're letting it affect your everyday life and you can't function, or you're starting to have like difficulty maintaining relationships with people because of their political perspectives, you should probably consider if that's worth your time and if it's worth your sanity. Because I see people do this shit all the time where You'll be in the lunchroom and all of a sudden just somebody boots down the fucking door and they start yelling about the latest goings on. And it's like, come on, man. Do you really got to do that? Like, the podcast and Twitter and not even my Facebook anymore, because I mostly just talk about the band on Facebook. But that's mostly for like political stuff. But in reality, if people want to talk about it and we're sitting at lunch, okay, I'll have a conversation about it, but I don't want to bring it up to people. If people bring it up to me, okay, we can have a conversation about it, but I don't want to be that guy. If other people want to be that guy and we want to, you know, commiserate together about the latest goings on since politics, then we could do that, but that's not always my goal. Jack, good morning. I heard you're selling victimhood. Yes, yes. It's a big seed that made you fat. Or if you're a vegan, it's big meat, big meat, big meat and big dairy made you fat. Speaking of that, I was on Red Evening 2 weeks ago and that show was a blast. I think that was a record stream for those guys. And it was talking to Rob is just a blast. And obviously Jack too, but, it's kind of like Rob and I took over Red Evening and just kind of ran it ourselves. Jack occasionally had commentary and, you know, read the super chats, but then Rob and I would just go off on a tangent, especially because now that I'm shaving my head, we got a little bit more in common. And then, maybe I got a shitload of yard work to do, unfortunately. And this is like my only good day to do it. My show has been hijacked. Yeah. I was listening to Red Evening, and what's frustrating is that my computer needs some upgrades, and I was trying to play other games, and I was trying to play First Ascendant, and I just got this game. What the hell was it called? Dino. How professional is this? Dead Air. Dino Trauma. And it's like a Doom style shooter almost. And the graphics like suck on it, but I mean, that's kind of like the charm of it. And I played it for a few minutes and I've been listening to Red Evening. It's taken me like 3 days to listen to this. It's only like 2.5 hours long, but I'll be sitting here at the computer trying to play a game and the computer will crash because I'm listening to a podcast and trying to play something and it just crashed. So my brother's computer he wants to go take a trip to Micro Center to get all this shit and go to Radizio, which Jack, you're always welcome. But I was talking to him about that and he has some parts that he wants to get for his computer and then he's going to put in mine because like all these parts of my computer, which my computer's right here, are like super ancient. So we'd swap all those out and yeah, you look more like a guy who bullies video games. No, you know what? I have friends of all stars and stripes. I think that's maybe one of my, like, I don't want to say greatest kept secrets, but man, I am kind of a nerd. The sharks don't like do it just, it's just kind of funny because I have a shark right here, shark right there, dinosaur right there, the squid right there, dinosaur right there. But yeah, exactly. Radizio, that's the name of the nearby Brazilian steakhouse. Went there Friday and ate about 12 pounds of steak. See, Jack, that's what we got to do. That's what we're going to do if you make your way back to the States. Yeah, but that's generally what I do too. And my brother introduced me to Radizio. And funny enough, this was back in March of 2021, the first time I ever had COVID. We went to Radizio and they had swordfish. And I never had swordfish before. I always wanted to try it, but I couldn't taste shit. So we go there. And I'm like, oh yeah, the swordfish is great because I didn't want anybody to know that I was sick. And it was a good time. And we probably are going to go back out that way, but I just don't know when. I don't know if it was a chain. Yeah, it's a chain. So like the three big tourist areas are Fogo de Chão, Texas de Brazil, and Radizio. There was one by me about a half hour away called Green Forest Tourist Area, but they shut down in 2020. Absolutely breaks my heart because they were like the nicest people in the world that fucking owned that place. And they were just really, 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 really good people to their employees and the people who worked for them. And, you know, just awesome place. But unfortunately, they shut down in early 2020. But yeah, I've talked to people about going out to Brazo was one back in the day. People always complain about like everywhere being expensive, and like I get it, but like you don't get out of any restaurant anymore for two people for like less than $50 anymore. If you do, let me know where you're going, because if you want to get like an appetizer, a drink, and an entree, yeah, you're definitely spending $50 easy. At least around here, my one coworker always says, "Oh my god, it's so expensive," and I was joking, like, "Oh yeah, anything over $4 for you is expensive." But what I like about Radizio and like the churrascarias, the Brazilian steakhouses, is that you can go there and it's all you can eat, and it's $50, so it's not cheap, like $50 per person. Which, okay, no, it's not cheap. So you're spending about $100 for two people, but you never leave hungry. If you leave hungry, that's on you, because it's all you can eat. It's all you can eat meat, and then they have a buffet and everything up there, so it's on you. We usually go for birthdays where it's BOGO, two people with the full experience for around 50. Oh, hell yeah. Well, you know what, Dickie? There is a place in Orlando, which I think you said is like 6 or 7 hours from you. It's called Cafe Monero, and that place is fucking badass. Haven't made it down there in a little bit. I'll be back down in Orlando in September, about third week of September for a cruise. But yeah, I don't know if we'll go there. I want to make it to Rockin' John's Barbecue too, which is like this barbecue place with like brisket omelets. Oh, it's so good. But we didn't make it down there either. For my birthday, I'm also drinking a pitcher or two of red sangria. Oh, this red sangria there is great. I never, I don't think I ever had sangria. And then one of the waiters at Texas Day Brazil said, "Hey, we got this red sangria." And then they came over with it and I started drinking. I'm like, okay, no, man, this stuff's the shit. And I'll be, oh no, moving out of Florida, dude. I'm sorry. That sucks. Yeah. Dude, that blows. I wish I was moving to Florida, but unfortunately, I don't see me moving anywhere out of Vandergriff anytime soon, because it just paid a whole assload of fucking money for house repairs. Yeah, okay, so you know, let me get back to the point of the show here. I do like to do these and chat with you guys. When you see stuff like this, David French is a Democrat. To save conservatism from itself, I am voting for Harris. When people make these loud exclamations of who they're supporting and why they're supporting them, it's always just a form of manipulation and telling you that, oh, well, look, I'm doing this because, you know, oh, I have to vote for Trump to save you guys from democracy. I have to vote for Trump because I'm going to save you guys from the evil kid diddlers. It's another way that people can sell you hysteria. And then if you just do what they want, notice how it's never like, usually there's not a lot of benefit for you, but generally people want to get you to do what they want. And this is why I never use the term masculinity. And you're going to ask why I even brought this up, but it's going to make sense here in a second. So when people talk about masculinity, it's always funny because they generally chalk it up to whatever their worldview is and however they like to define it. And that's what masculinity is. So like, if I were to sit here and define masculinity for you, I'd probably end up looking like me. Oh yeah. If the guy can fix cars and lift weights and grow a beard and, I don't know, shoot a gun or something like that. Right. Well, those, most of those things are things that I do quite frequently. If you ask, as I've made fun of him before, Matt Walsh, and, you know, obviously Ryan Stone made fun of him too. But whenever you hear him talk about masculinity, what's going to be, if you can grow a beard and have six kids and the fuck trophies for clout, that's what being a man is. But this is generally because people want you to confirm their worldview. It's never about what is the objective term of something. It's about what can I get you to accept to bring you into my worldview to confirm my own beliefs, rather than you think for yourself and establish your own worldview and your own beliefs. All right, let me run an ad real quick and we will be right back. All right, guys, we are going to take a quick break from the show to tell you about the show's sponsor. We are now brought to you by Fox & Sons Coffees. You can see right here, I got the Den Blend Dark. Really enjoy that. I've been drinking a lot of their Brazil Honey Prep. Right here, as you can hear, there's not a lot of beans left in it because I've been drinking it quite a bit.
Just tell you a little bit about Fox and Sons, why I support them and why you should too, is that Stephen had started the company up in Michigan to help teach his son about entrepreneurship. I'm all about that, and I do firmly believe that in order to spread liberty in our lifetimes, we have to support those who support similar values as us. And Stephen does support all the same libertarian values that I bring and talk about on the show a lot. So go to foxandsons.com, use code Kyle at checkout to get 15% off of orders $25 or more, and there's always free shipping whenever you place an order that is more than $37.99. Find their coffee absolutely fantastic, and I'm sure you will too. So one more time, go to foxandsons.com, use code Kyle at checkout to get yourself a little discount. Let them know I sent you, and support the coffee that supports you. All right, guys, thanks. Back to the show.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more with volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
I'm almost out. So right now I have a tweet that's kind of blowing up, and I usually it's the ones that I never think are going to go anywhere that just start going crazy. But let's play this other tweet that I had lined up. Share screen. I know I did a podcast on it earlier in the week, but we'll cover this a little bit more.
He said, "Well, think of that. Think of the things I just said." Then he said, "You know, I think J.D. Vance is weird. You know, it's a word that they use. I think he calls me that too." No, we're not. We're very solid people.
You see, I'm kind of surprised that they didn't lean into the whole weird thing because, like, let's be honest, J.D. Vance is kind of weird. Trump is weird would be an understatement, but to be a, what the fuck is he, like 80-year-old dude who's still running for president and cracking jokes the way that he is, a former billionaire and all this other shit. Yeah, he's kind of weird, but like, I don't know. I think, people who talk about trans kids and say that, they should have the right to guillotine their genitals, I think that's a little bit more strange. I mean, if you're asking me to pick between the two, those people talking about the kids having the choice to do those kind of things, that's definitely significantly more weird than anybody else.
We want to have strong borders. We want to have good elections. We want to have low interest rates. We want to be able to buy a house. We want great education.
And it's always interesting when people talk about interest rates. You could generally tell if people know anything about economics when they start talking about interest rates. People who think low interest rates are good just blanketly at all times, usually not the smartest, picks from the tree when it comes to economics, because low interest rates in an environment of high inflation is bad because people can get money same as cash and continue to basically put more currency out there and create more inflation rather than trying to change people's spending habits to save a little bit more money with higher interest rates, right? When you have higher interest rates, then you can see your money grow faster and the incentive therefore is to save more money. But, right now with 4.5% interest rates, people are freaking out like this is high. I mean, back in, I think it was the 80s or 90s, Paul Volcker had them all the way up to like 20%, which was to rein in inflation. We don't have a, Federal Reserve with any kind of integrity like that to tell people like, look, you're going to have to suffer for a little bit in order to kind of get all this, this clown show back on the rails. But, now you hear Vance and Trump both saying they want to lower interest rates. And I don't think Biden or Kamala are any different. I think they want to keep interest rates low too. But I think Fed Chair Powell does have kind of a mind of his own and is willing to kind of play the game a little bit. But he's also willing to kind of, stick it to other people. So I did that show with Phil a while ago where we kind of dove in on the theory that Powell's some great patriot who's looking to say fuck the EU and all them. I don't know that I'm 100% convinced, but I thought he would cut sooner, but I think after the election they're probably going to cut because Generally right now, since interest rates are a little bit higher, it is a little bit harder to get money, and then that makes it more difficult for people right now, but that's supposed to help with inflation, but they're not doing nearly enough to rein in inflation. So if you lower interest rates after the election, then everybody can get more money again. They can start spending money, which looks good in the short term, but though in the long term, that really kind of fucks everybody. Let me finish this video.
Education. We want strong borders. I think we're very, actually, I think we're the opposite of weird. They're weird. You know what they do? They work with the press on coming up with a soundbite, just a soundbite.
And Trump is right here. He is absolutely right.
And every station that night, all the networks, CBS, ABC, NBC, they all said, oh, they were called weird. It's unbelievable. You know, it's not a word that's really used too much in politics, but.
Yeah, and he's right, because politics is a very, very weird thing. I mean, every 4 years we get absolutely obsessed with two people, and either people absolutely love them or absolutely hate them. And I don't like either. Yeah, I really don't. I never have. And I got put on a list this morning of Kamala fans, I think they said. If you can find me where I praise Kamala Harris once, then, you know, by all means, go ahead, fill your boots. But I have not. Republicans making memes of us because they really don't like being called weird, as if it takes any effort to mean left whatsoever. Weird. Western educated, industrialized, rich, democratic. Amen. But we are not democratic. We are a representative republic. See, we were founded as a constitutional republic, but if you can call us a constitutional republic anymore, I don't think you could really call our country a constitutional republic anymore, because there are no nobody really cares about the Constitution, no matter how much they want to appeal to it, because they know that plays to a certain group of people, and this kind of appeals to the general sense of patriotism. Hey, if we appeal to the Constitution and tell people that we're just listening to the Constitution, then surely they'll vote for us, because that means we're going back to the good old days of America. But let's face it, there has been a president in the last, you know, probably a couple decades that really gave a shit about the Constitution legitimately. Trump reauthorized the FISA 702 warrants, which I'm pretty sure Biden did too. And you obviously supported it back in the early 2000s, which are blatant violations of the Fourth Amendment. The First Amendment is absolutely trampled on, no matter how much people want to talk about it. But anti-BDS laws, where if you work for the government, you have to sign a pledge for Israel, which I've been banging that gong for quite a while now. But, you know, you can't criticize a certain country of the Middle East, or else you will be fined, or in South Dakota, thrown in jail, which is just absolutely bonkers. Democrats, Republicans, no different. Yeah. I mean, some are definitely better than others. But, you know, my like gold standard for a good politician is Thomas Massie, which... I think if you're a fan of this channel, then you probably agree as well. And, you know, we could go back to Ron Paul, but unfortunately, the good doctor has been out of politics for like 12 years. And, you know, God bless him. Let him do the Liberty Report in peace. And it's kind of amazing, because he's almost 90 years old at this point. And, you know, that I'm more than honored that I got to interview him for episode 300. But, you know, he's more competent than the two that we have running now. Definitely more competent than Kamala Harris. But I mean, even Donald Trump, like if you ask Ron Paul for a history of, you know, any foreign policy conflict, he's going to be able to lay it out to you perfectly. And this is kind of why some people might get a little fucked off at me for this. But, you know, Putin is kind of an impressive person, because ask Donald Trump, who might be able to give you some kind of education on some conflict. But imagine asking Kamala Harris to break down any foreign conflict. I mean, there was that clip of her talking about Russia, where Russia is a big country and Ukraine is a little country, and the big country invaded the little country. It's like she was trying to tell this story to like a five-year-old, except for the five-year-olds are all of us. And we have to give billions of dollars to Ukraine because Russia's a big country and Ukraine's a little country. And their democracy, right? But Putin was able to give this huge detailed, and it was probably propagandistic, don't get me wrong, this propagandistic view of, you know, how great Russia was, where I think he said under Stalin there were some human rights abuses. definitely some, that's putting it mildly. When you kill millions and millions of people, I think you could definitely call that human rights abuses at minimum. And potentially genocide at worst. But, you know, we don't really have leaders that are like impressive people anymore. And like Donald Trump is at least funny. But, you know, someone like Ron Paul is someone that's impressive. Not orthopedic, but a certain kind of doctor. This is going to bug me now. I don't think he was a gynecologist, but of course it doesn't say. But basically he did a lot of birthing of children in his entire district, and that's why he won his district in Texas so many times, is because, you know, if you birth an entire district and they all know you personally, then, well, you know, you have orthopedic. Is it orthopedic? Or are you fucking with me? He did deliver many babies. Okay, but what is that, an orthopedic doctor? My wife's in the other room. I'm surprised she didn't yell over. But whatever kind of doctor delivers babies. OBGYN, that's it. Yes. That's an impressive person. And same with like Rand Paul, which, you know, like people made fun of him for his gynecologist. Yeah, that too. We should be sitting here yelling about vagina doctors here soon. Obstetrician. Let's just name every single kind of doctor. Podiatrist is like a foot doctor. Gynecologist. Nephrologist is for like your kidneys. But we don't have impressive people in politics anymore. We have people who generally, as much the words kind of overused, grifters now, where basically they're going to pander to you. And this is why Trump is pandering. He had that one rapper that's supposed to do a Joe Biden diss track. Like for the people who are actually like there to support Trump and who Trump should be playing to, he's not playing to those people. He's trying to get black votes and the soccer mom votes and people who may make a difference, but like I think if you alienate your base, then they're not going to be very incentivized to vote for you. And let's face it, the vast majority of Republican voters probably are white, you know, 20 to like 75 year old working class men. Never really talks about those kind of people, the people who kind of make up the majority of the country. Phrenologist. What the hell is a phrenologist? I don't know. But he's pandering more towards, you know, immigrants and blacks, Latinas, everybody but the average working class guy, because, well, you got to get votes from somewhere. Lobotom, is he? But once again, you know, it goes back to the theme of the show of when we talk about a lot of these issues, it's to sell victimhood, at least when politicians sue. And even like, I see Tim Pool doing this stuff too, where, oh, the Democrats hate you, the Democrats are out to get you. Rob made a good point about this when I was on Red Evening last, and he's like, you know, is it some grand conspiracy, or is it just that people are indifferent? And if you go to a DMV, if you go to any governmental building, I think you're going to find it pretty hard to find any people that genuinely hate you. You're going to find a lot of incompetence and probably a lot of indifference. But it motivates people a lot more if you tell them that these people hate you, because then you feel like you have to take action against them rather than just accepting that people are indifferent and don't care whether you do what they want you to do or if you die or anything like that. When you get people's emotions all riled up, which is what election seasons are about, then once again, people feel more motivated to go one way or another, which, I mean, obviously we know that like the whole idea of like the Democratic plantation, where basically the idea is that Democrats will fix everything. If you just vote Democrat, they'll fix racism, right? Systemic racism is the big Democrat talking point. If you just vote Democrat, even though they really don't do anything about it, it's such as it is. Republicans will fix immigration if you just elect them, even though, you know, we had 4 years of Trump and immigration was better than it is now, but it's not fixed. Civil war. Yeah. Civil war. That's the big one, where you know, if you just spend enough money on my Patreon, then we will prevent a civil war. And I've said it a million times, and I'll say it a million times more. As long as everybody can be fat, happy, and full, you'll never have a civil war, because nobody is uncomfortable enough to actually take up arms and do anything. And people could disagree with me all they like about it, but no one's going to get up and take arms, because it's just not worth it. Why? Why would you? If you could still afford groceries and you could still afford a High Noon and be able to jack off and all that good stuff, you know, what the hell do you need to go to war over? You're not going to do anything. I'll let Kamal if you want black men in jail. Well, you know, and I talked about this a little bit on Tuesday's show, but it's so funny to hear people talk about how the Democratic Party is the party of anti-Semitism, but the current front runner for president under the Democrats, her husband is Jewish. Once again, this isn't like some, I'm not going into the JQ conspiracy stuff, but like, you guys got to do a little bit more work if you're saying that this is the thing, right? The Democrats are anti-Semitic as hell. Okay, well, Josh Shapiro was like being floated out there, and then Kamal's husband is Jewish. A lot of people in the Biden administration are Jewish. They've green-lighted everything that Israel wanted to do. You're not making a very solid case. If you want to look at college campuses and where some, you know, Jewish students cried because some people said from the river to the sea, then okay, we can say that. But what are we really talking about here? Democrats are the real racists. Yeah, the old boomer con talking point. Nobody cares, man. It's more that more outrage stuff. We're just, dude, nobody cares. Just shut up. So I think I took up enough of everybody's time. I probably won't be on Post Zero, but I think it's Nuke that's hosting it. Jack, if you're still listening, drop a link. If not, I'll try to find it real quick. Make sure you go over support those guys. I got ass loads of fucking yard work to do. I want to do none of it, but it needs done, and it needs done now. So I probably won't be participating as much as I would love to. Post here. Yeah, it is Nuke. I like that thumbnail. Give a thumbs up on that. Drop this here in the chat. Hopefully you guys can all get there from here. But yeah, I think that's it. So make sure you hit all links below to get everywhere more guitar. Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. Maybe I could plug this at the end of the show too. And B knows what I'm talking about. B just sent over a little audio clip of a song we're probably gonna be working on this week, and it sounds really good. But hopefully in a few weeks or so, we'll be back in the studio recording new music. I really, really want to. I'm ready to go like yesterday. We need to put out some new Common Crown music. Because this lineup, I'm telling you, man, is fucking unstoppable. Just the live performances, the shows that we've done so far have been absolutely killer. And next year is just going to be fucking killer. But we're going to be going back into the studio very, very soon, I really hope. And we're going to be recording The Fringes. And we'll have that out hopefully before the end of the year. I can't make any promises because it's dependent upon four other people. I'm 100% ready to go. I could record that fucker right now, and then we'll go. But you know, Jen, I think still said she wants to kind of fuck with it a little bit, but you know, I think it's ready to go. And I think you guys are really going to like that song. If you become a member for $2.99 a month of this channel, you can hear it. A little bit of a rough recording, but from the GoPro from some of our recent shows. So there's that. We have the show with Tommy Vex coming up November 13th. Oh, and this week I have Middle MAGA coming on. I think that's going to be an interesting show because I think him and I come from a very, very similar perspective in respect to everything that's going on in our political landscape right now. Do y'all do many covers? No, we used to. We still do Message in a Bottle occasionally, but we're trying to stick more towards original music. And that's kind of where I wanted a Common Crown to be. I don't want to do fucking covers. I would love to have maybe a side project or something that we would just play out with occasionally, just to do like cool old rock covers like Sammy Hagar, Judas Priest, Black Sabbath, stuff like that. That'd be cool, but I don't know that I'm going to go out of my way to do that right now. I'm so focused on Common Crown that I really want us to just pump out more original music. And there's always just ideas flowing between me and Brandon and everybody else. And I really want to focus on that. I really want to do another EP next year, which I think is going to happen. We have some songs that are pretty much ready to go, and then maybe release like a full collection of the Common Crown stuff. Maybe we'll do that next year, but I'm hoping for a four or five song EP next year. But yeah, there's that. 5 till midnight tomorrow. I think we're going to be covering the Trump Elon interview, but we'll see. Cognitive Vigilance. We just had Buck on Thursday night. That was a really, really good show, and Buck's just really, really good dude. And we talk mostly about religion, but I'm sure we'll do another one with him sometime, because I thought that was a really, really cool show. And Post Zero going on about 15 minutes, but like I said, I probably won't be on because I got to get all this yard work done. I fucking hate yard work. Oh, you don't want to hear me sing Painkiller, especially not right now with all the shit in my throat. But I could probably belt out some classic rock stuff. It'd be a lot of fun, but I wanted to do that for years. Oh, Beer Drinkers and Hellraisers. I used to play that Just Plain Nasty, and I would do the parts of Dust. I think I would do Dusty's parts, if I remember correctly. But anyways, thank you guys so much for hanging out with me on a Sunday morning. Hopefully you brought your favorite coffee mug and drank your coffee with me. You could be a million places in the world. Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, whenever. I always enjoy doing these, just shooting the shit with everybody in the chat with a loose idea of what I want to talk about. But yeah, so that's that. And I think I'll wrap there. Thank you guys so much. And until next time, take care.